We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Overnight America continues. President Trump is up tweeting in Belgium, Brussels, excuse me. He's going to be at the NATO summit again today. Hopefully we get a live look into some of the discussions. I'm really looking forward. Yeah. I think that the actual meetings by itself, if they could be as great as they were last night, I will so get into some live coverage again tonight. I really hope we get to hear some of it. Last hour, ask the question, what seems obvious to people in your profession, but generally the public often get wrong? I had a couple of radio ones in there, too. I'd like to hear if you got any of those. And Ron's been holding on from Florissant. What's going on, Ron?
Hi there, Ron. You might vaguely remember me with a Johnny Rabbit presentation a couple of months ago. You were sitting next to me in the audience.
There. Oh, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I view caseworkers, state caseworkers who determine eligibility, as sort of the orphans of the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
And people, the legislators don't exactly favor them, nor the public, nor the clients themselves. And sometimes those people have to go into places that the police will not go without backup, and they're armed. And you have low pay, and you're handling maybe as much as 500 cases in your caseload. So I just want to put a word out for caseworkers, because you hear about the police, the first responders, blah, 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 teachers and everything, but the caseworkers are hardly ever mentioned. They have a tough, really tough job. The job is like a meat grinder.
And probably some real depressing situations going into.
Well, yeah, sure, absolutely, every day, yeah.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It takes a special person to be able to do something like that, Ron. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, when I went to Johnny Rabbit's presentation, the last one I went to was a look back at media. So he talked about television and radio stations and the equipment they use, things like that. It was really fun. I was in the crowd, and I was sitting next to him, apparently. That was Ron, the man I was sitting next to. And I think his wife was with him, or daughter. So there was someone there, too. I don't remember the relationship. Sorry. But I went on stage, and I was with Harry Hamm and them. It was kind of cool. Jason calling in from St. Louis. Jason, what's up?
Yes, sir. If my geography is correct, Brussels is a city in Belgium.
Right. That's where they are for the NATO summit right now.
Yeah, but the way you talked, you talk like it was two different areas.
Call in to correct me there. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome, sir. Bye.
Thanks, for putting him on the air. All right. Here's another little known radio fact. Not everyone should go on the air. Here's a couple more for you. What seems obvious to people in your profession, but the general public often get wrong? This one came in. Schizophrenia usually isn't always as simple as hearing voices. Depression isn't simply not being in a good mood or being sad. I think a lot of people do get that mixed up. When you hear schizophrenia, you obviously think of multiple personalities, but that's two different things. And same thing with depression. Anyone that's had to suffer through something like that probably get pretty offended in the sense if you just say, you know, why don't you just try cheering up? Turn that frown upside down. That'll fix your depression up. Here's someone that said, a food chemistrist, food chemist here. Natural products aren't inherently safer or better than manufactured products. Plants produce some really gnarly chemicals. Stuff produced in a lab is probably actually more safe because it was made in sterile conditions. Well, that's kind of cool. Another person said how dangerous vehicles are. The thing that's not obvious to people outside his profession. He's an engineer at a truck company. Vehicles at any speed are carrying a huge amount of force. I always cringe at people who come flying up to intersections and slam on the brakes at the last second. Wow. That's like St. Louis. Maybe this person here that wrote this online is from St. Louis. Man, the worst drivers I've ever encountered. People are crazy, man. And I think the worst thing that St. Louis has going for it on the roads is that there's not any straight. It's like all the highways are twisting and turning. You can't go a half mile without the road curving a little bit. So if you're not paying attention, or you're picking your nose, or you're looking at your phone, or whatever it is, you're in someone else's lane, and that causes problems. I think that's like one of the biggest issues. I already read the zookeeper one. What's something that seems obvious to people in your profession, but other people get wrong? Some lawyers are in court all day long, almost every day. Some may also set foot in a courtroom every 5 or 10 years. Some have never argued a case in front of a judge in their lives. So there's all different types of lawyers out there. I guess not every lawyer is good for everything that you do. Here's another one, too. We cannot send police, the fire department, or an ambulance to you unless we know where you are. Your landline might come up with your address, or if you've moved, it might come up with your previous address. So what they say is, if you ever have to dial 911, know where you are. Because even if they try to track your cell phone, they say sometimes it's within 50 meters, a.k.a. could be within 50 steps. So think about how far off you can be 50 steps away if you're trying to get someone to your location. That could be very, very problematic. Oh, radiation doesn't glow green. Learn something new every day in that one, too. Oh, here's one. I worked at a petting farm for a summer, and I had to milk a cow. Like, we had to take turns on who had to milk the cow. It wasn't something that was necessarily hard. It was just tedious in your, you know, you milk the cow, and it's like you're just there, and you're like, oh, I'm getting bored of this, and this is tiresome. But I totally understand this. How you handle milking a cow, anyone who has ever done it knows that you do not pull the poor cow's, you know what. It's a whole different technique. When you're learning, yeah, you might do it wrong. One more for you. There's no location on any airport called the tarmac. The tarmac is a paving material. Eventually, one day, a reporter heard someone say that an aircraft was parked out on the tarmac, assumed that was the ramp, and then started calling it a news story. So anytime you hear that in a news story, the tarmac, that's just the paving stuff that they use on there. If you got any more, we can go over that. Let's do Tell Me Something Good coming up in the next segment. I got two great Tell Me Something Good stories, one of which is a Spokane boy who was selling lemonade and doing it for the right reasons, and, well, at least the reasons why most kids would want to do it. And Habitat for Humanity celebrating something good here in St. Louis. We'll take some of your calls, too, if you got something good you'd like to share at 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Oh, if you got something good you'd like to share, let's hear it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It seems like my Twitter feed is blowing up talking about Stormy Daniels getting arrested at a strip club. I might talk about that at the end of this segment. But it happened in Ohio, and I guess it's been confirmed. I don't know. Let's save that. There's really no details in it yet, but there's a couple of stories, local stories, I wanted to share with you. And this one is from KMOV. Habitat for Humanity is ready to build their 400th home in St. Louis. This is a good thing. Habitat for Humanity marked a major milestone today when it broke ground on its 400th home in St. Louis. The home is being built in South City. They rely heavily on volunteers to assist in the building process. I've looked into them in the past, and it's kind of cool. It's different than what you may believe the organization. So when you think of it, you think, you know, it's Jimmy Carter in the South. You know, he's down in Georgia, and, you know, they build a bunch of homes, and, you know, that's it. Or they go to other countries, and they build homes in other countries, things like that. But what they do is they find and they get, like, these communities built together with people that are of low income, and they basically say, okay, you're going to help us build this house. We're going to do it together. We'll give you a really favorable loan. We'll give you a favorable price on this sort of thing. Here's what you got to do. You got to upkeep it. You got to keep the community going. You got to own the house for so long, but it's yours after that. And based on your income, you may qualify to get a home built by Habitat for Humanity. Also based on your income and how many people are in your family, it dictates how big of a home you can get. So you're not just saying, okay, build me the biggest home you can possibly get. But, you know, if you got one kid versus five kids, that changes the amount of home you actually need. So they don't overbuild, and they take all of these things into consideration, and they build these communities of people that want to put roots into that neighborhood and that community. And then they have the equity of the home. They have pride in home ownership, and it builds all of those things. And next thing you know, people that never would have been able to afford a home have a home, and they're building this wealth for themselves. It's actually a really good deal. So if you ever get an opportunity to volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, well worth your time. If you are someone that you think qualifies for something like that, look into it. You probably didn't even know that's what they do. If you're someone that has low income and you have a steady income, or you need the space, or you have a need for housing, and you know that things are, you know, it's good, but I'm having a hard time finding a place because things are expensive. I wish I could find something affordable. That might be a great option for you. Go look up Habitat for Humanity. But their 400th home is built in 6 days in August. I can't believe they can build a home in 6 days. That's how many volunteers. When you get about 300 volunteers on site, man, they can nail these things out, pun intended. One other, tell me something good story. If you got a story to share, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Spokane boy sells lemonade to raise money to buy a puppy. About 2 years ago, 11-year-old Nick's family's dog passed. They decided that he was ready to bring in a new best friend to the house. So he said, okay, you got to raise money to get the pup. It's important you do that. I think you also, just like the Habitat for Humanity, you got some skin in the game. You raise some money and you know you're committed to getting that puppy. You have a goal and you work towards it. You have hard work putting into the lemonade stand as much as 11-year-old can handle. He ended up raising $1,500. That's pretty amazing. Every once in a while, someone would come in and throw $20, $30 his way for the lemonade because he knew that that was his goal to get a puppy. Hopefully, they still went to a shelter to get that sort of thing. The cups of lemonade continued to stack up, and also the kindness. One woman brought over a little doggy blanket, knowing that's what his goal was, and they started giving him some dog things. Washington State troopers even came by. He said, when I saw it, I thought, oh boy, they're going to put me under. That's it. But then more and more troopers came in and they kept donating money themselves. They kept buying glasses of lemonade because those troopers wanted to contribute as well. Says it's a true testament to how good of people we have and that we're so fortunate to live around a community that cares so much about our neighbors, they said. Nick plans to donate the remaining money to the animal shelter where he got his new pup from. Aw, I'm so glad he went to a shelter. That's the way to do it. My wife and I were out today, and my wife said, hey, let's stop into the shelter and see what kind of dogs they have. I said, do you want us to adopt a dog today? Because that's how you get us to an adopt a dog right now. There's no way you can walk into an animal shelter and come out without wanting to get a pet. It's impossible. I used to volunteer at a shelter, and I used to be on the board of directors for this shelter. And a lot of the volunteers just like to come in and walk the dogs. They always need dog walkers, but they really need people to clean those pens out. And it's a stinky job, not the greatest thing in the world. But it's easy to become attached to these dogs, and I understand it. But it's also more difficult to walk into a shelter that you're not volunteering at, and then all of a sudden not walk out with a cat or a dog. I'm a dog person myself. I can't do cats. I'm allergic. But man, I for a moment, my wife's like, I wonder if this dog would get along with our pup. And she knows it's not going to work. Our dog is a one dog type of dog. He is very finicky with other dogs. He gets along with some dogs and not with others. So it would be a huge gamble to get him a little buddy. But obviously, we didn't walk into it. It would have been a huge mistake. You look into the eyes of those crying pups and say, how can I not take you with me? How could you not do it? All right, so if you got a good story you'd like to share, kind of like you set up a lemonade stand to raise some money for a puppy, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So there's some reports coming in right now, and Fox News is reporting this. Apparently, Stormy Daniels has been arrested. So Stormy Daniels, the adult film star who claims to have had an affair with President Trump, was arrested while performing at a strip club in Columbus, Ohio, her lawyer told Fox News. Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, says that Columbus police did not confirm the arrest. The strip club where she was performing also did not indicate any arrest was made. But her lawyer, her fixer, Michael Cohen, indicated that, or not Michael Cohen, what's her, Avenetti, that's it. Michael Avenetti said that she was arrested for, quote, allegedly allowing a customer to touch her while on stage in a non-sexual manner. I don't know, is that illegal in Ohio? Good for Ohio. So Ohio prohibits anyone who isn't a family member to touch a nude or semi-nude dancer. So she gets arrested. Good for Ohio. Oh, that's funny. Oh, Doug calling in. Hey, Doug, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, how are you, man?
Good.
I want to let you know, this is a pretty good, something good story.
Good.
Last Wednesday on 4th of July, we played a gig, Donna and I, and about eight other people played a gig at one of the country clubs here in town for their big gala. And it was really cool because we got to have my son on the gig playing keys and singing along with us. And Donna's daughter was on the gig.
Oh,
and
she was doing, how about that?
Vocals and,
I didn't know she was a musician, too.
Well, she sings a bit, and she's done a lot of things. She's done some singing. She's done some modeling and that kind of thing. And her daughter's also a yoga instructor and a kickboxing trainer and kickboxing instructor.
Really?
And in fact, one of the people that she worked with when she was up in New York was Ronda Rousey.
Oh, is that right? So, that's about as high as it gets when it comes to that sort of thing right now.
Yeah, no kidding, man. It's like, wow, you know Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
They call her Rowdy, like Rowdy Roddy Piper or whatever?
Yeah, when she was with UFC, they called her that. Now, I'm not sure what they're calling her with WWE now, just Ronda Rousey, I think. But
I saw her, she was pitching something on TV, some ad. I can't remember what the product was, but she's still pretty relevant.
I saw it the other day. I saw a Twizzlers ad.
Oh, Twizzlers, that's right. Yeah, it was that candy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I cracked up because I thought, there's Rhonda. And then the trademark, mean look on her face, like, get out of my way.
So when did you last perform?
Oh, last Wednesday we did a thing over at the country club.
So it was the 4th of July. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, we had a 10-piece band. It was really cool. The band sounded, oh boy, it was kicking.
Doesn't that feel good when you're part of something that's kicking? That's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, yeah, that feels great. Yeah, in fact, well, now Donna and I are going to do our thing next Thursday over at Viviano's over here in Chesterfield. So we're going to do that.
Oh, cool.
And, a little 6-to-8 deal and just me and her. And, she plays, I'm singing, and we're throwing in a few tracks to sing along with and that kind of thing. So it's cool. And they're having a little thing over there, so it's kind of fun,
Cool.
But we're out there still doing our thing, and we're still working with the senior folks and doing that. And she and I are getting ideas for, she's theater, right? She's all about the theater and producing and writing and that kind of. So we're talking about different shows and show ideas and writing some shows and trying to get some investors and get something going.
I mean,
she belongs to NAMT, so I mean, why not? Let's get something rolling here.
That's exciting. So, very exciting.
So, and I went and saw Jersey Boys Monday night at the Muni.
How was it?
And, well, I thought it was okay. I thought it was pretty good. This is coming from a person who's in the business, so take it for what it's worth. But talking with her about it, and Donna has seen the Broadway production of that show.
Yeah.
And when I showed her told her what I saw, and one of the musicians that plays in the show, I guess, got they must have videoed the dress rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
And he put it, I'm sure he got permission, he posted it on Facebook, and so I sent it to her to see, and she looked at it. We just got off the phone a few minutes ago, and she looked at it, and she goes, oh, my gosh, this is nothing like the Broadway production. What did they do?
Oh, really? Is that different? I messaged Harry Hamm just today, and I said, my wife and I, we want to go see a show at the Muni, and he's recommending we go see, I forgot which one it was. It's one coming up here at the end of the month. But there's a couple of different ones. Not Annie. What's the one after Annie? I'd have to look it up.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to remember what it is right now. But there's one that he recommended we go see. And Harry Hamm, if anyone would know, Gypsy. That's the one he recommended.
Yeah, Gypsy. Yeah, sure.
He said that's a pretty popular one, too. All right, Doug.
Oh, that's been around for years, man.
I have yet to go to see a show at the Muni. I really want to see one this summer, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Of course, Gypsy's been around years, around for years, but then again, so have I. So
get it. Good to hear from you, Doug. Thanks for calling in.
You bet, Ryan. Have a good night, buddy.
You too. Oh, Doug's great. Love hearing from Doug. You know, there's one other thing. I guess this is a kind of a good story. Elon Musk has said he's planning on donating a lot of money to Flint, which is kind of a cool thing. And I'm going to read that for you because I that kind of plays into Tell Me Something Good. And then we're going to go immediately negative because the 2018 Best and Worst Run Cities list is out. You want to guess where St. Louis sits in there? It's not good. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. Marjorie calling in from Columbia, Illinois. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I tell you what. You were talking about dogs and puppies. And I don't know if you and your wife have had a chance to see it. It came out last year. Mm-hmm. It's called A Dog's Purpose.
Is that the one where, like, the dog is reincarnated over and over?
Yes. Yeah,
we did watch it. Yes.
Oh, you did watch it. Okay. I thought it was such a charmer, and you like Aunt Dog, so I thought you'd love this movie.
I know. It was fun. It was kind of like the Look Who's Talking philosophy, where you hear the thoughts of the dog. Isn't that what goes on?
Well, it's
kind of.
From the standpoint of a dog, and whoever made it, they must. It's kind of like reincarnation, I guess. But he comes back in like five different situations.
Yeah.
Four or five different situations. But at the end, he's discovered what the purpose what his purpose is.
Yeah. How nice is that? Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember if I enjoyed it. It's been so long since I've seen it. What we do. We get movies from the library. And whenever we grab them there, and it was just one of those, let's grab it off the shelf and watch it picks. I don't remember much about the movie.
It came out in 2017, so I'm surprised it was in the library already. Well, somebody must have liked it and donated it.
Oh, no, get all the new videos there. I'm telling you, you can get anything. All the new releases, as soon as they come out, you can put a weight on it, and just as soon as your turn comes up in line, it's yours. It's great.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I saw it on Spectrum, Spectrum Primetime, and I couldn't remember if it was HBO or Showcase.
Yeah, it was one of those.
They're running it on one of those two. It's running it right now.
One of those G-rated movies. Yeah, and who was the main actor in that? I remember.
Dennis Quaid,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
he did a good job in that too, from what I remember.
Plus the puppies. I mean, they were really neat. I thought.
Oh, puppies! Who doesn't like a cute puppy? All right, thank you for that tip. I like it.
I do. If you get tired, you're bored. What are you going to do? Find it and watch it again. I thought it was pretty neat.
You like it that much? All right, Marjorie. Hey, thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, my kid's now into Beethoven. He really liked that movie. I don't know why we decided to find it, but for whatever reason, I think I showed him a clip where Beethoven, you remember the old movie from the early 90s, where it's the dog is like all muddy on the parent's bed, and he stands up and shakes, and he's just like slobber and mud and dirt's going everywhere. And I show that to my kid, and he thought it was the funniest thing ever. So we got the movie from the library. We watched it. He thought it was great. There was a line in the movie where they're trying to name the dog. So they put all the names in the hat, and everyone's pulling a name out. They're like, okay, what are we going to do it? And they get to the point where they're frustrated because they're like, none of these names work. And the one woman the girl was trying to say that her pick, MC Hammer, should be the name of the dog. MC Hammer. I don't know why my kid picked that up in the movie. He remembered it. Because the other day, he picked up this toy dog, and my wife said, oh, what's the name of your dog? She said, MC Hammer. It's amazing what those kids can pick up on and remember. It is insane. How about this good story? Elon Musk is planning to pay for clean water to homes in Flint, Michigan. This is from Bloomberg. So, billionaire Elon Musk has promised a lot of different things. He doesn't always come through on them, but for the most part, he is someone that actually tries to make a difference in the world. Like, if you remember during the cave in the kids in Thailand, he sent that one capsule over in hopes that they could use it in order to save some lives. They ended up ultimately not using it, but he wanted to help. And how many people do you know would try to get all their engineers to stop what they're doing, create this capsule, and then personally fly it over. And he was there apparently in Thailand while they were doing the rescue. That's unheard of. He's also someone that is a revolutionary type of thinker. He's always a forward thinker. He's someone that has shot a car into space. I mean, it doesn't get any forward thinking than that. But billionaire Elon Musk pledged to pay to secure clean water to homes in Flint, Michigan, as the city has fell into economic depression. So it says, please consider this a commitment that I will fund fixing the water in any house in Flint that has water contamination. No kidding. By stepping up the assistance to Flint, Musk is thrusting himself into a pretty high-profile crisis. So more than 22.3 million Twitter followers encouraged him to get involved, and that's kind of what got him into it. Musk's vow to help the former home of GM came hours after Tesla's fourth-largest shareholder called for the CEO to focus on key matters. So he's got his own problems to deal with, but he still wants to help other things out. Maybe the shareholders aren't too happy about that. Pay attention to your own company first. Don't worry about Flint, but he still wanted to do that. So he said he's looking for volunteers. They want to do some brainstorming on how to help the area. And if you want to help, the email address is flint@x.com. Flint@x.com. So he says most houses in Flint have safe water, but they've lost faith in the government test results. I wouldn't trust the government in Flint either. You want to get your own independent, and you want to make sure your house is safe too. Fixtures have gone bad. There's all kinds of things. If you think about all the, this is what my dad tells me. If there's a water main break and you're affected in the neighborhood, stop running water in your house, period. Because what the last thing you want to do is suck in all this dirty water into your water tank, because then you're going to have to flush it out. And then who knows what other things will be contaminated inside there. Yeah, it'll probably flush out, but do you really want to deal with that? So he said, if there's water main break and you know it, don't suck that bad water in. Stop running the water in your house right away until that water main's fixed. Let the bad stuff go somewhere else down the line. See, that's wisdom from a dad that knows. See, those little things, I wish I would have paid attention over the years. He's got so many good wisdom. Things I'd never paid attention to. There's a survey from WalletHub, the best and worst run cities in America. Do you want to take a quick guess where St. Louis is on this list? I really don't put a lot of stock into these. Because they're deceptive. They're very deceptive. They don't really give a good key indicator of a community. But let's look at it anyway. They say Washington, D.C., the worst run. Detroit at 149. So they go up to, I guess, 150 cities. Number 150, so that's the worst on the list. Washington, D.C., then Detroit, then New York, San Francisco, Gulfport, Port Mississippi, Oakland, Chattanooga, Flint, Cleveland, Hartford, Chicago, Tacoma, Los Angeles at 138, okay, Atlanta, and then St. Louis, and then Memphis. So St. Louis is 136 on the list. Not the worst. I wonder if that could be a slogan. We can just get that. St. Louis, not the worst. Some other on the list, Knoxville, Tennessee at 125, Kansas City, Kansas at 122, Cincinnati at 117, Nashville, Tennessee, 111. And then you have Kansas City, Missouri at 96. So they crack the top 100 best, if you want to put it that way. Indianapolis is at number 85. I only put them on there because they're comparable in that sense. Columbus at number 70, where Stormy Daniels was arrested this night. Maybe they'll go up on the ranking too. They said the number one best run city is Nampa, Idaho, then Provo, Utah, Boise, Idaho, Lexington, Kentucky, Missoula, Montana. Those are the top five. And I wanted to see the individual rankings. So out of a score of 150, they say, not so good, 148 for St. Louis. In this sense, this is not in the ranking, but this is their scoring of how they decided on the scoring. So financial stability, out of 150, they were number 146, so towards the bottom. Education, 135. Health rank, 145. Safety rank, 150 out of 150. The economy rank, 103. Infrastructure and pollution rank, 37. Hey, how about that? Ranking pretty high when it comes to infrastructure. They understand. We got the highways, man. They're zipping and zooming, and doesn't say much about the people that are driving on them. But it does, however, at least have something positive in that whole report. Coming up before we get to the top of the hour, there is a new study out, since we're doing studies, that says people over 40 should only have to work this many days a week. I don't like studies like these either, but what do you think that number is? How many days a week should anyone over the age of 40 work? This is Overnight America, Camo X. Welcome back. So there was this other study that came out. This is kind of stupid, but you know, there's countries like France who have laws in the books where you can only work so many hours a week or can't be punished if you don't voluntarily work more than those hours. However, that law there is written, but they conducted a survey with 3,500 women and 3,000 men in Australia to analyze their habits and try to understand how many hours is too much at work. So what they decided to do was base the work week off of how many hours they passed this test. In 2016, economic researchers published a study in the Melbourne Institute Worker Paper Series, which found that for workers over 40 years old, a three-day work week could result in their best performance. I don't buy into this sort of thing, because even if you're not at your best performance, you're still doing something to contribute. So to say that after 3 days, it's useless, you're not going to get anything done, is really a flawed argument. Plus, even after 40, what about the people that do work into their 50s and 60s and who knows, even 70s? Are you saying that what they're doing is pretty much garbage at that point? Because they're working more than 3 days a week. This is what they decided to do. So they analyzed they did a couple of different tests, these cognitive tests. So reading words out loud, reciting lists of numbers backwards, matching letters and numbers under time pressure. After factoring in people's quality of life, economic well-being, family structures, and employment, economic researchers found that the individuals who worked an average of 25 hours per week tended to perform the best. You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever get you down. But fatigue and stress and other things that get into that also play a factor. And then this report says the seven dangerous red flags of being overworked. You want to know if you're being overworked or not? Let's go through these seven red flags. If you're being overworked through this late overnight hours, raise your hand to every one of these that are true, as long as you can do it safely. You may be working right now. There's a lot of people that are with us at night and follow along here. One, turning to alcohol or drugs to relax. Working long hours but having no productive results to show for it. Wow. To me, that was my last job in Indiana. I felt like I was working long hours, and it was like I was on quicksand, man. It seems like every time I did something, three other things popped up. No productive results. You're lacking sleep and feeling fatigued all day. That's just part of the overnight. This is what I found. There's some things that are convenient working through the overnight, because during the day, you know, if I need to go, I'm just going to admit to this. I took way too long to do this, but I finally switched my license over from Indiana to Missouri because I wanted to make sure I can vote in this primary. Finally did that. You're supposed to do that like real quick, and I dragged my feet, but I finally did it. And going to the DMV during the day at the time I want to go to. Convenient, right? Okay, things like that work. But if you're trying to conform to the rest of the world and there's only certain people that work the overnights, everyone else works regular hours, if you got to meet with them, sometimes you got to conform to their schedule, which means you're going in even though you're off. So like tomorrow, for example, on Thursday, I'm going to come into the radio station. I need to record a program, a weekend program. But the only time I can do that is during the day. I can't request that people come in at like 9 o'clock at night to record these things. It just is not practical. So I'm going to come in. I'll record The Business of Family Business, which is a show that airs here on the weekends. If you haven't heard the show, it's a really good show. I interview family businesses and let them tell their story. And I get to find out about the things they do, the struggles that they've overcome, things like that. So I'm going to come in and record one of those tomorrow. And it's during the day. It would be like me asking them to come in and record at like midnight. So obviously that's not going to happen. But Yeah, there's a trade-off there. But I always feel fatigued. Like I have to take a nap during the day, but I get tired. And it's mostly because I've been splitting my schedule up because I got to adapt to the rest of the world. Not everyone works the overnight. The seven dangerous red flags you're being overworked. Feeling of sadness or depression are starting to creep into your life. Now, that's a real sad one. Number five, on top of long hours, you're even working overtime. Number six, your eyes are sore and your body's aching. Number seven, relationships with your children, spouse, or friends seem to be falling apart. Seven dangerous red flags of being overworked. So they say that with retirement and state pension age likely being pushed back, working these painstaking hours at the cost of your body and brain does not seem like a good and sustainable trade-off. Wow. Now that'll sober you up real quick. You hear some of those things, and if how many of those meet your criteria? Like, of those seven signs you're being overworked, how many of them hit you right at home? I'm pretty lucky. I got a really nice balance right now. Even though I'm, you know, monitoring news, reading stories, studying up on things during the day, it's not like I'm feeling I'm obligated to do it. It's just, you know, I enjoy reading news stories. When I come in, I have an idea of the most of the stuff I'm going to talk about, but I do a lot of the preparations for the show before the show. So I come in, I work on those things, I'll record some interviews during the day because, you know, like right now in St. Louis, it's 1:55 a.m. Not everyone's available to come and talk to you at 1:55 a.m. Very few times do you actually get a live interview at late at night. I think even in the history of this radio program, we've had like one scheduled overnight radio interview. The rest of them, you know, it doesn't really make sense. And I totally understand those things, but I feel like I got a really good balance now. Finding that balance in your life is so important. I didn't really have that always in my working life. And I'll tell you that it is really not worth jeopardizing the relationship with your family for the potential of furthering your career or anything like that. Absolutely not worth it. As soon as I had my kid, there was nothing more important than him. You know, there's going to be times where you put your work ahead, right? So you're not going to always be able to take your kid to the park. Something might come up. I understand those sort of things. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is if every day you miss everything about him, not worth it. Totally not worth it. So I think most people realize that. And I've talked about it too many times on the show to have to go into it again. Got a couple of other things I want to talk about the next hour. We'll get to CBS News. I'm still watching Fox and CNN right now. I'm waiting to see if they break in and have any updates from the NATO summit, because there's been video circulating around already of the leaders getting there to the location, and it looks like they're going to start meeting here soon. And yesterday, after 2 a.m., that's when we started to see the live cut-ins coming in from the summit. So I hope we get something to broadcast live next hour. Maybe we'll get some other breaking news, or who knows, maybe we'll even get to hear President Trump putting the hammer down. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.